Okay, let's pray. Father, as we come again before you, we say thank you. We say thank you in the days of smallness. We say thank you in the days of increase. And Lord, we commit our heart, we set our heart to honor you in the receiving of money, in the giving of money, in the working for money, and even in the attack from the enemy, because you have blessed us and your calling is upon us. We say yes to you, Lord, on all of these dimensions related to finance. In Jesus' name, amen. This 7 out of 8 sessions, as we look at the prophetic history on this one, we're looking at the power of God and the promises of God related to supernatural wealth. Paragraph A, we talk about God's power. We want to see his power. We looked at it in one of the sessions, supernatural conviction. I mean, where you, the preaching, the singing of the word, it cuts the heart like a sword piercing. And I mean, that's power. We talked about signs and wonders and, you know, the lightning of God coming out from heaven in power through the hands of God's people, limbs being restored and the blind see and the lame walk. Let me say this, there is as much power that God exerts in the realm of transferring finance. It's not just power that touches us, our hearts, when somebody's preaching under the authority or when somebody's body's healed. There's a significant dimension of God's power and his personality related to money. And there's significant warfare. There are high-level demons that their assignment is to control the money and to wipe out everyone that touches it for the purposes of God. Some folks think, oh, I'm blessed. Lord's going to prosper me. My question is, for what reason? Oh, I don't know. You know, just having lots of money ought to be like, cool, I'll sort it out when I get it. Total unreality. Why do you want money? And they say, oh, the Lord's going to prosper me. Do you understand the bullseye that will be on you from darkness? Well, I have the authority in the name of Jesus. I'll just cast it off. Well, you do have the authority in the name of Jesus. But I guarantee you it will be war and it will take endurance. Because the realm of money is not just an issue of faithful to give. It's the issue of being faithful to endure the onslaught that comes because you have been given money from heaven. It is a supernatural power encounter for God to multiply wealth supernaturally. It's a power encounter. It's a power dimension. And like healing the sick, like the blind eyes opening, and like the power of God coming on people through someone's ministry. It says in Deuteronomy 8, we're just going to take a minute for that kind of teaching stuff. Then I want to get right to some testimonies and just mention a few promises. Deuteronomy 8. It is God who gives power to get wealth, but he does it to establish the covenant. He wants to give us money so we can promote the covenant. Now, some people read this, I think, in a different way. They say, God's going to give me lots of money to prove to me that he'll keep his covenant with me. And the covenant with me is to give me money so I can go do stuff, fun stuff for my own life. The covenant God's making isn't to give you money so you can just go play. He's given us money so we can extend the covenant, that we can bring more people into the covenant. He gives us wealth so that we can promote the gospel, that the covenant of God would be magnified and millions, even a billion, would enter into it. That's why he's going to give us wealth, to establish his covenant and to multiply the number of people that enter into it. God is not only kind, not only wise and powerful, he's rich. I said that one of the other sessions. He's really rich. He's wise. He's powerful. He's kind. But he's really rich. You know, the passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9, it says, though he was rich, he became poor. Jesus, and took upon the form of man and bore the wrath of God on the cross. And we focus on he became poor, and we should. But let's pause one moment and back up. Though he was rich, he's really rich. He's rich right now. I mean, he has lots of money. And he wants to distribute it to his people. And he wants us to believe him for money as much as we believe him for power, for miracles, and for apostolic preaching. And he wants us to be steady in the attack, to endure the onslaught, just like the apostles did when they healed the sick and raised the dead. Paragraph B, there's going to be a great transfer of wealth. A great transfer of wealth. When God shakes the nations, Haggai 2, he says, I'm going to shake all the nations. And when he shakes the nations, he's going to fill his temple with glory. And he makes a statement in verse 8, Haggai 2, verse 8. He says, the gold and silver's mine. I own it. But I'm going to manifest my leadership over it when I shake the nations. He's already beginning to shake the nations now. We can see the early shaking, the early stirrings. It hasn't at all come to a crescendo like it's going to. But when he shakes the nations, he's going to fill the temple with glory. He's going to manifest his glory. And he's going to show his ownership over gold. Right now, a lot of people who are serving the kingdom of darkness have control of a lot of the gold. And God says, oh, I own it. But I'm going to flex my muscles. I'm going to manifest my ownership over it in the hour when I shake nations and release my glory. But beloved, if you think religious institutions get mad when their people leave, I mean, that's one of the biggest issues of history, when a religious institution, whether it's false religions or even in Christianity, in the Christian circles, when religions, when the people leave, the leaders get real mad and start wars. Do you think wars get started, religious wars, when money gets moved? I mean, when the kings of the earth, they go, hey, that's my money. Wars. Well, in the spirit realm, there'll be tremendous onslaught. And I'm not trying to talk you out of getting money right now. It sounds like I am. I'm trying to make us, as we even look at some of these promises, to have a sober look at it. Because when people think healing anointing, they think rich, famous. Everybody will like me. If I'm healed, I'm in this stadium. Everybody wants me. They have millions. Yay, I will be rich. Life will get easy. Oh, those are total wrong dreams. Those are fantasies. If you get the Lord releases healing like that, your life will have so much pressure and there will be so much. I mean, it will be worth it. There will be joy in our spirit, but I guarantee you it will be different than what we imagine in our vain imagination. That's all I got to say. But I'm ready for it by the grace of God. I'm saying, Lord, I want it. I want to go forward. I want to go forward in the promises and the power, and I want to set my soul to be patient, to be persevering and not to quit. Be patient, young man. He said, don't quit. I've set my soul, and you need to set your soul. Because, well, when I get there, I'll determine. No, when you get there, it's going to be too late to set your soul. You need to set your soul now not to quit before the battle picks up at the next level of intensity. Paragraph C, Psalm 67. The psalmist prayed, be merciful, bless us. Cause your face to shine on us. Why? Why do we want blessing? Why do we want the anointing to be manifest so that the way of God can be known in the earth, not so we get a bigger house? The psalmist didn't say, bless me, anoint me so I can get more stuff. He said, bless me that the way of God, I could use the authority, I could use the influence, I could use the wealth to make the name, the fame of the name of Jesus go forth in the earth. Beloved, this is not a small thing. This is a resolve that we must make in the days of small beginning. And the small beginning for some is thousands of dollars, because the Lord's going to give millions. The day of small beginnings to others is hundreds of thousands, because the Lord's going to give hundreds of millions. And the days of small beginning for some people, they have millions right now, but it's only the day of small beginning, because God's going to give them billions. I believe the hour's coming, there will be trillionaires. I really believe that. There will be trillionaires, some of them in the earth. And I expect a number of them to be in the kingdom. I mean trillionaires, 1,000 billion. Not a billionaire, 1,000 billion. Bless us. Let your face, the anointing of God, why? So that the fame of the name of Jesus, not so that my house gets bigger and I got more people who think I'm awesome. And that the salvation of God would go forth to all the nations. You know, when I was in Cairo, Egypt,
1982, and the Lord says, I'm going to change the understanding and expression of Christianity in the whole earth in one generation. I've said that a number of times in over the years and even in this prophetic history. One of the things I don't talk so much about, but it was a very important part of it, is that the Lord spoke to me and said, I will give you the wealth of the nations. 27 years old in this experience, in Cairo, Egypt, I hear the voice of the Lord resounding in my spirit. I'm going to change the understanding of Christianity, the whole earth. And he says, I'm inviting you to a work that will touch the ends of the earth. And I say, yes, Lord, yes. And he says, many have said yes, but they've not yet done it. And I'm saying, yes. And I don't want to go through the whole story. But he said, if you will do this, I will give you the wealth of the nations. But you cannot touch it in your personal life. You cannot touch it. And I set my soul there. In that hour, to be a billionaire or to operate with billions, not a billion, billions and billions. I set my soul as a young man, and I made a commitment. I said, I will live by the grace of God, a simple lifestyle all the days of my life, and I want to be a man that touches money in billions. But I set my soul not to touch, bring it to my own life. And that was part of when I said yes to the Lord. When he spoke those four heart standards, I said, I won't touch it. I won't touch it. And the Lord said, I will give you indescribable wealth. In essence, that's not a quote, but that was the essence of what he was saying. I will cause the wealth of the nations to come in your hands. And I want to urge you, and I know a number of you have already done this, I urge you to set in your soul now that this transfer of wealth is to make his name known in the earth, not just to give you more stuff, to make your life easier. It's really not what it's about. I set my soul, I will live by the grace of God, a simple lifestyle, all of my days with billions going through my hands. And I'm excited by that commitment. You know, it's 25 plus years later, and I am more excited by that commitment, or equally excited as I was then. Paragraph D. Now, some have gone through a paradigm shift, and others still need to. And here's the paradigm shift. When you see money, you see souls. When someone says a billion, you see souls. You don't see cars, you see souls. You don't see yachts. I appreciate cars and yachts. And bless Lord, whoever has them, give them more. I'm happy for them to have more. But when the Lord talks to me about billions, I see souls, I see intercessors, and I see the oppressed of the earth free. And if you can have a paradigm shift, when you see money, you automatically see thousands of young people in full-time service as intercessors crying out in Asia and Africa before the Lord. I want to see full-time houses of prayer in refugee camps around the earth. Now, I'm talking about these places where 40, 50,000, 200,000, 300,000 are in refugee camps, a number of them in Africa. They do nothing but sit all day long. They sit all day. And they wait for the food in food lines. They have nothing to do. You know what God did with 3 million slaves when they were out in the desert, from Egypt? These 600,000 Jewish men and women and children, near 3 million of them, they're out in the desert. I mean, what do they do all day? Play video games? No. Check the stock market? No. Oh, plant the gardens? No. A lot to do. You know what the Lord did? He built a house of prayer. He built a temple. He built a tabernacle. And they were to worship God. And Joshua, it says the young man, he went into the tent. He says he would not depart. God built a house of prayer in the wilderness. And my heart stirred up. These refugees, let's go build houses of prayer. God gives us 100 million, 100 billion extra. Let's just keep multiplying them everywhere. You know, if there's 50,000 people in a refugee camp, I guarantee you 5,000 of them would join the staff right away if you'd let them. Build a tent, get a generator, buy a bunch of instruments, teach them the apostolic prayers, teach them how to sing the Psalms, get them flowing, buy them some instruments, and let them sing and tell them they got to keep their sacred trust. They got to do it all the time. I tell you, they'll get dreams, visions. They'll start healing the sick in a way they don't now. Their lives will get transformed. Angels will start appearing. If God will give me a trillion, I got a place to spend it. I made a commitment to the Lord. I will never touch it in my personal life. And I'm not talking about me right now. I've already resolved. I'm talking about you right now. Have you resolved yourself at that level? When you see soul, money, do you see souls? Do you see intercessors? Do you see the oppressed getting set free? If you do, you've had a paradigm shift. And the kingdom of God has come into your life. If you see money and you see souls. Paragraph E. Joseph. He was one idea away from being one of the wealthiest men in the earth. One idea away. He's a Jewish boy in an Egyptian prison. I mean, that's a bad combination. To be a Jewish boy in an Egyptian prison, that's not good. The guards don't like you. The prisoners don't like you. There's a whole lot of people don't like you. But God liked him. Things were going bad. He's in this prison. I mean, he's in it 13 years, 13 years. It's not a small thing. Two prison sentences. He was one idea away. He got a dream in the night. One idea away. I tell people that. You're one idea away from being a very wealthy person. Said that for years. And I always love to add, and I say it kind of tongue in cheek, but I mean it. I said one idea away, plus some blood, sweat, and tears and a few prison sentences. It's actual. And it's not always a physical prison. Sometimes it is. But it is surely. There's going to be some prison sentences, some difficult times. I go, you're one idea away. And people, yay. I go, plus some blood, sweat, and tears and a couple prison sentences. And you got the Joseph calling. Brother in the back row, the blue shirt, you have the Joseph calling. I knew it. Ooh, do you know what the Joseph calling is? Oh, I always wanted to be Joseph. Have you read the story? I mean, the first half, not just the back half. I mean, this is real. It's kind of cute to say that. It's real. I mean, with Joseph's 22, 23, 24. Hey, Joseph, do you think you'll be one of the wealthiest people on the earth? It doesn't look that way. He's in prison. I don't really see myself being one of the wealthiest guys in the whole world. Well, David grew up in a poor family in a little rural village. I mean, Bethlehem was real little rural village. I mean, he was just out in nowhere. You know, he wasn't 100 miles to the closest Walmart. I mean, you got the picture of the town. I mean, far out in East Texas, West Texas, way out there. The big event's to go to Walmart, but it's a 2-hour drive. That's the big event. Well, that's where David lived. Now, if you'd asked David when he was 15 years old, David, do you think you'll be one of the wealthiest men in the earth? David, do you think you will give billions of dollars to the house of prayer? David did. David gave billions. I don't have the verse. But it's first. I don't have it in the notes. It's 1 Chronicles 22:14. 1 Chronicles 22:14. It talks about David. He gave 100,000 talents of gold. 100,000. A talent, 75 pounds. By many, there's several different designations. That's the most common accepted one. A talent, 75 pounds. He gave 100,000 talents of gold, and he gave 1,000,000 talents of silver. When you add it all up in today's market, it's right at $100 billion. He gave it for the building of the temple where the singers and musicians would go night and day. He gave it of his own money. Now, if you'd asked David, 15, he's out there and way out in West Texas in a little village, Bethlehem, 100 miles from Walmart. David, what are you going to be when you grow up? Well, my dad's got sheep, but I have seven older brothers, so there's 8 of us. We separate the sheep. Well, I get the smallest portion. They don't even invite me to the dinner when they have a guest. 1 Samuel 16, they didn't invite him. He says, I won't get 1/8 of the sheep, but I'll probably get 1/16 of them. Wow, that seems like quite a life vision. To get 1/16 of dad's sheep. What are you going to do? Well, you know, we've been in this village for years. And I don't know what David would have said. At 15, he might have really had a hold of something by then. Probably did. But here's my point. He probably didn't know at 15 he would be one of the wealthiest men in the earth and that he would give $100 billion away to the house of prayer that his son was building after his day. David gave it at his old age. He dedicated it to it. And then laid hands on his son and said, "Son, Solomon, build it now." Can you fathom? Cyrus. Of course, he's the Persian king. He built the house of prayer and built the city of Jerusalem with his own money. God's raising up Cyruses, real Cyruses in this day. You know where, paragraph F, do you know where God trains the Joseph Company? In Joseph's dungeon. You know, we had the dream. Bob Jones went to Joseph's dungeon and we talked about the humility. But we don't always understand Joseph's dungeon was real. And there's a lot of saints right now, they're in those dungeon years, some spiritually and some more than just spiritual. It's heavier than that. Roman numeral 2. Well, I already shared that. In Cairo, Egypt, the Lord said, "If you don't touch it, I'll give you the wealth of the nations. But I don't want you to touch it." Paragraph B. We looked at this in, I think, the second session. Bob Jones's August 8th, 1975 experience when he had the death experience and he stood before the Lord. And the Lord said, "I'm going to send you back because there's a group of young people that I want you to touch." And he sent him back from death. So he comes back from death. His spirit has left his body, has gone before the Lord. The Lord sends him back because he says, "I want you to touch some of the leaders of a youth movement to help establish them. And I'll release the spirit of prophecy on you." I mean, I'm putting a few experiences together, but the Lord said that I'll release the spirit of prophecy that they will strengthen them so they'll be resolved and steady. So he comes back from death, and when his spirit is about to enter his body, he sees his body, and he thinks, "Lord, I've got to go back in that body," because he said, "I had so much pain." And incidentally, when he went back in, he still had pain for 3 days. He said, you would think I was in the presence of God. I come back. I get kind of a pass on the pain thing. He says, "I get in, my spirit goes in my body. I'm in pain again." I go, "How does this work?" And when the saints prayed for him, I didn't tell this part of the story, then he got healed. But until there was prayer, he didn't get healed. He said, "I would have figured I would have been instantly healed." And the Lord says, "No, cry out for it. No, I'll touch you. I'll heal you." That was the truth the Lord showed him. But anyway, that's another story for another day. He's looking at his body, and he sees these two angels. And the angels are prophesying about the move of God in Kansas City. And again, as I've said a number of times, there are angels in many cities that have many prophecies. So this was just the a peek into what's happening in this city. God has a grand story for the cities of the earth with angels and demons and conflict and prophetic histories. And the Lord wants to tap his people into those storylines in other cities. Well, in our little storyline here in Kansas City, the angels talk about God's going to bring, raise up men and women that he's going to give extraordinary wealth to. Extraordinary. Bob said he heard the angels talking about the wealth that would be beyond anything that he could understand. Beloved, I think there's coming such a transfer of wealth, we can't even get our mind around the magnitude of it. But what are we going to do with it? Because he wants to give it to the right people at the right time for the right reasons. And I want to be one of those right people at the right time, and I want to receive it and use it for the right reasons. And I want to be faithful in giving it, and I want to be faithful in enduring the onslaught. And in the onslaught, there's the joy of our spirit and there's victory, but there is a real battle in this breakthrough of power and promise and finance. Well, there's the one we looked at and a couple sessions ago. About the bus. I think it was session 6. When Bob Jones digs up the bus in the garden. And the Lord shows him. You know, it's that token, that prophetic poetry. But in his experience with the Lord, when he saw the bus, the Lord said that, I don't want to tell that whole prophecy again, but the Lord says, "I'm going to give Noel Alexander $1,000. And if Noel will sow it, I'll give 1,000-fold. A million,
then if you will sow it again, I'll give a thousandfold. That's a billion. Well, I want to sow a billion. Where will that take it? And I don't think God will give a thousandfold to everybody who gives a million, but I think that if you give a million to the kingdom, there are situations where the Lord will give a thousandfold return, but it's for kingdom purposes. It's not you got a billion, so you give a token million, and then hope the Lord will multiply the million. No, you got a billion, you give 99% of it to the gospel, and then take the Lord at his word and see what he'll do. Don't give him the surplus. Give him the first portion and the lion's share of it. That's the kind of giving that God is interested. A lot of people could give a million and not even know they gave it. They got so much money. That's not what the Lord's not interested. He's interested in our all. And our all is what causes the multiplication under the power and the grace of God. So we... Noah gave the thousand, and God gave us a million. I told the story in session 6. We gave the million. Well, the Lord says, I'll give you a thousand. But I'm expecting a billion, totally expecting a billion. And I am 100% sure what we're going to do with it. And give 100% of it away to the gospel. We're going to raise up intercessors, preachers, same thing. Because I want preachers that intercede. I want preachers that pray. And take care of the oppressed of the earth. Not just token help the oppressed of the earth. I don't mean token, but I mean just humanitarian. I want to help the oppressed of the earth as we're exalting the name of Jesus fearlessly while we're helping them. You know, these many organizations, humanitarian, I appreciate them. But you can't say Jesus, so you got to kind of whisper it in the hallway. I'm believing God for supernatural wealth where we can say Jesus on the megaphone. Because it's our money, because God gave it to us. It's not like we snuck in under the wire. We give a track when no one's looking. This is all about Jesus. Heals cancer, raise the dead, cast out devils. You got a devil? Come on, we'll feed you. In the name of Jesus, the food's free, and so is the deliverance. That's the kind of wealth transfer and kind of resolve we're talking about. And by the way, do you want a new job? Yeah, I just got saved. The devil just left. How would you like to be a full-time intercessor? Things like that. Paragraph F. I loved this one. It was summer of 2000. And Paul Kane was on our Shiloh property. It's about 100 acres, just part of the IHOP. All of our stuff here. And so just down the road about a mile or so, and he's on the Shiloh property, he's walking. And he says that it completely surprises him. He's just walking, and Paul Kane hears the word of the Lord. I mean, over the years, he is still hearing the word of the Lord in precise ways. I mean, it's just that gift of God when, you know, like Bob Jones and Augustine, I talked about them, the word of the Lord, the clarity. When the Lord wants to be clear, he's really clear. And so Paul is walking, and he hears a voice, and he's behind him. He says, what's it to you if I make Kansas City one of the revival centers that touches the whole world? Paul said, I stopped. He goes, I turned around. There was no one there. And he said, I understood. It was the Lord. The Lord said, what's it to you? It was a strange way to say it, but he said that to him. He goes, it was just a strange statement. And he said, my spirit was just trembling. I knew it was the Lord. He goes, I was praying and I just walked a few steps further. And he goes, wow, I'm just in the presence of the Lord. And the voice came behind him again and said, what's it to you if I give Mike Bickle $1 billion? He said, I stopped. I turned around again. He said, my spirit trembled. He called me on the phone. He goes, Mike, God's going to give you $1 billion. He goes, he's going to touch Kansas City. And I just said, thank you, Lord. That's not the time to act all hotshot. But in my spirit, I mean, I want $1 billion a number of times. Because I have plans for it. And the plans I have for $1 billion is to see
houses of prayer multiply across the earth. I mean, radical, dedicated Sermon on the Mount people who take a stand for what the Spirit's saying, that are bold and they live a fasted lifestyle, and give me a billion. I want it, Lord. But give it to me many times. And Lord, I keep my covenant. I'm saying this for your sake, not for my sake. I won't touch it in my personal life. I won't touch a dime of it. I don't mean I'll give most of it. I won't touch a dime of this. I made a commitment in my heart, and I got it all worked out with the Lord. I won't take a free cup of coffee from it. I mean, not literally, not a dime. It's holy to the Lord. There's certain financial blessings are coming. And I think that a whole company of people, I mean around the world, not I'm talking about related to us per se, but those related and those that are not related, they resolve they won't touch it. They will just be a vessel to see the fame of the name go forth. Well, I'm going to give it just a couple little examples, just because you start small. I'm just going to tell just a few stories now of our past. To bless the Lord, that's not only to bless Him. I mean, that's not my only point. But it's to also to instruct on how it operates. So it's to say thank you and to magnify Him, but to say you start in days of small beginning. Because the idea that we will give it when we get the millions and billions, but we don't give it when we have the thousands and hundreds of thousands, that's a false concept. And by the way, God doesn't believe it. When you say, well, I don't give it now, but I will then. He says, I've heard this story so many times. I mean, God's God. No, I'm different than the others. I'll really give it. Well, give it now. Oh, no, I can't make this work. Well, reduce your lifestyle, then start giving. No, don't. I don't want to reduce my lifestyle. Give me more and I'll start giving. Lord says, no, give now. And I want to say this. This is essential. We have to give now. We have to pray for the sick now, not just in that day. We have to evangelize now, not just in that day. So I made a commitment. When I was a young man, I was reading all these biographies. You know, these guys like J. Hudson Taylor was my first hero in the missionary to China. Mission, you know, the English, he was from Britain, and medical doctor went to China. J. Hudson Taylor. I read three of his biographies. And this guy, I mean, he could have been a wealthy man in England. He went to China just for the gospel. And, oh, his life was amazing. So I'm, you know, 22. And I have such a small income. And I mean, I don't have any room for error. And I determined. Diane and I got married 21, 22 years old. And I said, let's do this. I mean, our income was so small, like $10,000 to $11,000. I go, we're going to double tithe. And we couldn't hardly pay our bills tithing. I go, we are going to double tithe, and we're never going back on this, never. We're going to then go from 20% to 30%, and we're going to go to 40%, and we're not going backwards. So I determined in my heart I was not going to wait till I had hundreds of thousands or hundreds of millions or hundreds of billions. I had $10,000 a year. Our salary was $11,700, actually. $11,700. I said, we're double tithing. I mean, those checks were like big. I mean, we're like 300 or something. I don't even remember. Like, whoa. Those are big ones. And the Lord was smiling. He goes, you know, I love this. I love this. Keep doing it. You don't have a clue where I'm taking you, he could have said. Start now. Don't start then. And I told her, we will reduce our lifestyle before we reduce our giving. We will have smaller houses and smaller cars before we give a smaller percent away. Because I'm building my history in God. Because God's accounting, he's marking it all down. And you know, you'll go a year, two or three or four or five or ten, and he's marking it all down. It seems like he's not looking. He is watching every movement of your heart. And it's all recorded in his book. You know, and we had some real tough times, and the bills wouldn't come. And I remember a few times we couldn't pay our bills. And, I mean, we couldn't pay it. So I said, I didn't do this that many times, but a couple, because I felt stirred. I said, here's what I'm going to do. We're going to give our way out of it. Like, we can't pay our bills this month, so I'm going to go and commit. I'm going to give $1,000 to missions. And so we get our next paycheck. I just gave the whole thing away. Of course, I got her blessing. She goes, I go, no, let's just do it. Let's just throw ourselves into this. Let's just work in the opposite spirit. Let's just see where this goes. And I mean, we got double blessings that came out of nowhere. And the Lord, of course, they were little numbers, but 2,000, like those were huge numbers in those days. And the Lord, the whole time, he says, he was smiling. He goes, I'm writing this down. You're going to put zeros behind all of that one of these days. I'm not talking about me right now. I'm talking about you. I'm telling you what some of the things I've established because I one reason. I want you to say, if he can, I can. If he can, I can. If this is what they do, let's do it. That's what I'm talking about right now. And I told her, I said, we're going to reduce our lifestyle before we reduce our giving. We're just not going the other way around. I'm not buying into the American dream that I'm supposed to have more while I continually give less. I am not starting. We're not ever opening that door. We're in our early 20s. I'm 22 and she's 21. We get married. I said, if we start that now, by the time we're 30, when we're old and we're 30, we'll never get back to the basics. And this is the basics. Well, I could tell you so many stories of supernatural provision, and they're fun. I call them power encounters. They're exciting when you give and it comes back, and there's a cause effect. I mean, it's always fun to get money from God, but when you gave an exact amount and it comes back in the exact amount, and you know that the Lord's winking and saying, there you go. You know, like I love to tell the story. I was about 26, 27 years old. A woman was in real need. She needed this huge amount, $550. But I think our salary, I don't really remember, like $2,000 or $3,000 a month. I mean, it was pretty small. $500 was a huge amount. We were making $2,000 or $3,000 a month. Something like that. I don't really remember. But $500. And I just said, I'm going to give her the $550. And we couldn't afford it. And so what happens, this is just one little quick story. Day or two later, I'm at the church service on the front row, and a guy comes up to me. Puts his arm around me. They're worshiping. He says, Lord told me to give this to you. I go, what? He puts his money. I look at it, $550. Not $540. Exactly. It was exactly $5. I thought, oh, Lord, this is so intense. Because if it had been $570, I'd have been disappointed. It was exactly. Because the point of it was the wink from heaven. So I'm sitting there. And I'm so happy. I go, you know that I know that you know that I know. Oh, this is so cool. Your eyes are on me. That's what it was. It wasn't the money. His eyes are watching. So then we go, we have a ministry time. And I go pray for some guy. And I said, what's the deal? And he goes, oh, I'm in crisis. I go, what? He goes, financial. I go, what happened? He goes, well, today, da-da-da-da. And I needed $550 and there's no way. I go, oh, I know how to do that. I know a way. I put my hand in my pocket. I go, here it is. He goes, you have $550 in your pocket? I go, yeah, here. Sure. And it was exactly. He goes, it's rolled up. He goes, exactly. He goes, you like, do you package your money in 550s? I mean, he was. So it was cool. Well, I'm back to minus 550. That was fun, though. I'm walking out the door. A guy comes and stops me. He says, hi, like three, four, five people. They're working in the children's ministry, and they're closing up. He goes, Mike, oh, I can't believe you're still here. He said, the Lord told me to give you money. He came up and he goes, here, $550. I know that's a strange amount. And I went, unbelievable. I looked at him. I said, oh. I go, I love you. But I love him more. I mean, I love you too. But, oh, Lord. He didn't. I just kind of couldn't get over that. More stories. Oh, I love stories like this. I remember once when I talked to a lady, and she was real desperate, and I talked to her on the phone, and I was, you know, she goes, I need $2,000. And I said, okay. I said, we can make this work. I said, we're going to pray, and I'll break the story down because I want to tell some more movement stories. So we pray and made a few conditions. And I said, the Lord's going to bring that 2,000. I'm positive. I'm committing my heart to this. 2,000 is bigger than 500, especially, you know, when you don't have a lot of money. And neither of us did. And a guy came walking in, knocked on my door, a businessman. And I just had met him once at the church. Our church is only 1 or 2 years old here in Kansas City. And I go, yeah. And he goes, I'm having nightmares. He goes, I feel oppressed, him and his wife. And a real sharp-looking couple and a lot of money. And I said, okay. He says, could you pray for him? I go, yeah. It's a very non-elaborate prayer. I just pray, Lord, just help him. Just help him. And the guy just started manifesting a demon. I mean, for real. He was just, and he goes, I don't know what's going on. And I just said, in the name of Jesus, I kicked it into new gear. I go, in the name of Jesus, I command this demon. This guy was, you know, kind of a wealthy family. It's kind of like we didn't do the demon thing in our church. And I said, well, you're, boom. Anyway, the guy, a demon came out of him. And his wife was going, whoa, what was that? He goes, no, honey, I feel great right now. I just feel great. Just took like 30 minutes. And he goes, here, give me $2,000. I just could talk to the lady an hour ago. And I got $2,000. I go, demon out. And I got $2,000 in my hand. And I gave it to the lady. She goes, unbelievable. How did this happen? I go, it's all in a day's work. No, it is, though. It is. I go, it wasn't $3,000. It wasn't $1,000. And the Lord was looking down and says, we can do this in a lot bigger numbers if you want to. I don't mean I heard him say that, but I know what he's thinking. We can do this. We can put zeros. We can go to any level you want, but you got to keep giving it back to me. Well, we made certain commitments in our early days, this young youth group, to obey the Lord in this arena of money. I remember we were in a rental property, and so we had to get a building one day. We're, you know, a year old as a church. We got to get a building. So I went, and they gave me 3 or 4 days to go fast and pray. And so I took a time off to go fast and pray. In actuality, I didn't end up fasting. But it was a great 3 days. Actually, I went to a Kenneth Hagin conference. I'd never been to one. They said, Kenneth Hagin, you know, early 80s, I went to it, and I thought, wow, this is pretty cool. But I ate every meal, and the church, the man of God came back, he fasted and prayed. I prayed. Some, because I was at the meeting. I didn't expect to go, but somehow I ended up at this meeting. But the Lord tells me in the meeting, you give the money away. Because I was fasting and praying in order to get a wisdom strategy to come back and say, what are we going to do with our building program? And the Lord spoke to me in this time very clear, non-fasting, non-praying, sitting in meetings, a little bit of praying, but he gave it clear. He says, you build my house, I will build your house. Told me crystal clear. You build my kingdom. You give all the money away and I'll build your house. And I came back. And our, you know, church is 500 or 700 people, and they're mostly all from Overland Park, and, you know, they have more money than most the folks in this neighborhood. Let's put it that way. It's a different economic climate. That's what I'm trying to say. And so I say, here's the deal. I got the building program, and they're excited. Came back from fasting and praying. We are going to give all of our money away. That's the plan. A couple of people went, that's cool. You know, but we're business guys. We actually build businesses. I said, no, that's a word from the Lord. That's not for everybody every time. That was a true revelatory rhema word of the Lord. We give it away. So I said, here's what we're going to do. We're going to have no building fund. I believe in building plans and building funds. I believe in that. I mean, there's the book of Proverbs backs up that kind of stuff. The Bible backs that up. It really does. But there are times when he says opposite. I said, we're going to give all of our money away all the time. And we'll get a building. I said, I'll stake my reputation on it. I'll stake my leadership here. It's a word from God. So I said, we'll go for it. So, you know, we would get X amount of money. We have a little extra. We just gave it to orphans, or we sent it to Israel a couple of times, or we just gave it away to the pro-life movement because we were real involved in that. We just gave it to it. Just, we had to get rid of it. I said, we have to get rid of it. It's a mandate. It's just, God's watching us. So we have no building. So then Augustine, I mentioned this already, he comes up and he says, I mean, we have no building and no plan and no money. There's no plan. There's no, nobody wants to work with us. A group that won't ever get money. You know, like, well, how much you got saved up? None. Okay, that's fine. Well, what's your plan? Give it all away every month. You know what, young man? We need more guys like you around, but I don't think I want to work with you on your building plan right now. So we didn't have a plan. We didn't have any money. We didn't have a building. So Augustine knows this. He stands up in front of the congregation, and he says, on February 1st, he goes, by June 1st, you will have the building. And I go, Augustine, you can't give a date like that. I mean, June 1st, I mean, because he said June 1st this year, 1985. Because I was thinking, you know, you're really hemmed in. He goes, I heard it. He goes, you've made this commitment to the Lord. He's going to honor it. You're going to have a building June 1st. I said, okay. So now it's middle of May, May 15th. No building in sight. May 15th, there's no clarity where we're going, May 15th. And we have to be out of the place we're renting in June. May 28th, actually, we have to be out. We have no place to go. No plan, no money. And we got a prophecy that's in February 1st that we're going to have it by June 1st. We got 2 weeks to go. People are starting to say, hey, what about that prophecy? What about that old give all the money away plan thing? Because we lose our lease. The building we were leasing, the high school, we couldn't use it after May 28th. They said, sorry, you can't use it in the summer for these reasons. A guy knocks on the door. It's about May 20th. I don't know exactly when, but it's, you know, it's last week or two. He says, hey, talking about this building right here. He said, I'm over in Grandview, because we're over in Overland Park. Remember, our people don't shop in Grandview. They're going to, though. they have for years, but they didn't at that point in time. And he says, hey, I got a big building in Grandview. Of course, it's right next to Harry S. Truman, because, you know, a couple hundred yards away is Harry S. Truman's house, and Bob Jones said you'd be right next to him. He says, I got a big, this was a soccer field, indoor soccer field. He goes, I want you to have it. And I said, well, I have no money. He goes, that's fine. Let's just get in it. And a guy who loved the Lord, really, John Short, he loved the Lord. He said, I believe in what you're doing. I want you to get in there. I literally have no money. Not sort of, like literally no money. He goes, good. I'll take it. Bob Jones said he had a dream, and the Lord says, I'm going to make you an offer you can't refuse. That's what he said. I'll make you an offer you can't refuse. So he says, here's the deal, though. For these reasons I won't go into, I need to close down the whole operation on May 28th. And for these reasons, I need you to be in there, because there's even some vandalism has been going on and stuff. He goes, is there any possible way you could be there, like, on June 1st? That would really be important to me. I go, yes, yes. Oh, yes. I love it. So I bought the building. Sight unseen. Although the truth is, I actually walked through it once. Now, here is the difficulty. No air condition, and we got to go through June. So our folks, I said, I got a building. I can tell you this. They were not impressed when I showed them the new building. Because we only had 2-3 days to get it working. And so it was very dirty and very everything. But we had church on June 2nd, on Sunday morning. But we were in it June 1st. We had the keys. It was ours. And so when we got here, oh, was Bob Jones happy? Oh, he was so happy. Our church is 2 years old. He took me out in the parking lot. We got just where you could see through the buildings. A couple hundred yards, or, you know, maybe less than that. I don't know.
You see that house?
I go, yeah. He goes,
Harry S. Truman. I told you you'd be in Grandview, and I told you you'd be next to Harry S. Truman. I love it. This is the Lord's will. And he says, you see Blue Ridge? Right there, the street right there, just a few yards away, 50 yards away? That's where the procession was that was marching to Arrowhead Stadium, the healing procession. You're 50 yards from it. He said, I told you you'd be next to Harry S. Truman. You didn't believe me. Little did we know, we would actually buy the Truman property. That's another story. And most of you know a little bit about it, but I'll kind of shift gears. But that has been our policy. We are going to believe God for the outrageous, and we're going to get out there, out of the boat, and see what he will do with money. Because money is as much a power encounter as healing, raising the dead, or the power of conviction. I mean, money is a power dimension. It's not just a nice blessing kind of on the side. Let's do the real stuff, and then we talk about the money. The money is real stuff. So I remember we start IHOP. So I resign from the building here, and as most of you know, I resigned from it all, and I said, no, it's important to me that I resign from everything. Lord gave me a building, through Bob Hartley, the little trailer. I said, I'll take it. And I affectionately named it the Bethlehem Stable. And on our dedication, I said, this is the Bethlehem Stable. I said, good things are born in Bethlehem Stables. This is a good thing. But it was, just a little building. And I said, let's go for it. And I remember my son, he was talking to me, and he said, Dad, he goes, because I told him I was resigning the church and I was going to go get this little trailer and get some people to sing all day long. And that sign on the wall 24/7, we're going to do it. It's been up for 16 years, but we're going to start doing it now, that thing. My son said, well, Dad, why don't you just keep the church, kind of do that on the side? They wouldn't mind. I mean, you guys do prayer. I mean, everybody likes prayer. I said, no, I'm supposed to burn the bridge 100% and start from zero. I said, son, I have a little golden seed in my hand. I'm going to plant that seed, and a mighty tree is going to come forth by the glory of God, but it has to be planted. No, we have to go all the way, burn all the bridges, no escape hatches. No escape hatches. I said, you watch. When we plant this seed, a mighty tree is going to come forth sooner than you think. Because not only do we have the favor of God, there's been responses to God. I mean, it is the favor of God, and you always go heavy on that end. But God requires responses, but he records the responses. And our responses through the years build a history with God. And God, he relates to us based on some of those responses in our history. And I said, the Lord's going to give us money. Trust me. I got this major commitment with the Lord, him and me. And he's giving me the wealth of the nations. And I don't mean me. I don't mean it that way. Because he's going to give it to us. But I said, we can't keep any of it. So we have the little trailer there. And Nick Syrett, you saw him on the video. He goes, they say I found the Red Bridge Center. I don't remember how I found the Red Bridge Center. And but he did. And the way he found it, he drove down Red Bridge. There it was. That's how I found it. He came and told me, I found a building. It's right there on Red Bridge. And I said, well, Nick, we don't have any money. He says, I know, but what do you think? I said, let's go for it. I mean, Lord, give us money. I said, if it's time, it's time. And I mean, in a short amount of time, that check comes in the mail from a brother from Chicago. Never met us. $750,000. Whoa. Put it down. The bank says, hey, we'll lend you the money. So we're in this, what seemed to be a huge facility. This shopping mall compared to the trailer, but the $750,000, that's a major, like, wow. So then I get there. Then the guy in the apartments call me, says, hey, are you the guy in that bought the shopping mall? I go, yeah. Would you be interested in buying the apartments next door? The Hearn Hutt Apartments is what we renamed it so we could name it after Hearn Hutt, the 100-year prayer meeting in Hearn Hutt, Germany. He goes, would you be interested in buying the apartment building? I go, well, we really don't have any money, but
Because he didn't know I got $700,000. We just put it down and the bank took a risk on us. Because even putting $700,000 is like $2.5 million, something like that. They said, we'll take it, but you know, you don't have a big money flow. I said, it's going to work though. It's going to work. And the lady banker, I remember, she goes, well, I appreciate the $750, but your cash, you know, the stream is not great. She just looked at, you know, some of our staff. They're mostly 22 and they have jobs. They're intercessory missionaries, but that didn't impress her. I go, they got jobs. I mean, they're real jobs. So the guy, the apartment says, you want these? And I go, well, you know, we'll see. Because I don't know, you know, I don't really say no. Just say, hey, we'll see. So we call the bank. The same lady, the vice president. You know, you gave us money for the shopping mall. We gave $750. What would be the chances of you lending us money for the apartments? Oh, I don't think so. I don't think so. No, your profile is not quite strong enough. I know you guys are sincere. It's not quite strong enough. I could get in trouble if this doesn't work right. Well, what would you need for this to happen? These are several conversations. There's several people involved. I'm just kind of summarizing it up. She goes, well, I would need $700,000. This is Monday. The guy calls Monday at, say, noon. We talk to the bank. Don't even talk to her specifically, but we talk to the person relating to her and initially. And $700,000. I said, okay, good. Well, at least I know where I stand. It's Monday. Go to bed. There you have it. $700,000. Open up my email Monday. Lady says, dear Mike, two sentences. The Lord told me to make $700,000 available to you. Do you want it? It's Tuesday morning, next day. Yes, love Mike. They brought it to us. So I called, we called the banker back. Tuesday. Okay, we got the $700,000, but, and they go, again, several personalities. What do you mean? Well, the $700,000 yesterday. He said, if we get it, okay. Now, what do you mean you have it? Oh, no, we got it, yeah. This is 1001, 1002, you know, I'm just quiet. Well, where did you get it? Oh, it's solid, don't worry. So we own the apartments. It's like 6 weeks. 7 weeks. It is instantaneous. I mean, for those of you that know property, you can't do that in 6 weeks. And so we continue to give, and the Lord keeps blessing us. Then when it comes to, you know, we get in a relationship with God TV. And God TV says, we want you to be one of the head of our prayer division. And we want you to do these things. And I said, here's what I'm going to do. I'm talking to Rory Alec. I said, I'm going to ask the Lord. This is on about 10 o'clock at night. I'm going to ask the Lord about our conversation to seal it supernaturally, to seal it. He goes, good. And we was relating to money. I said, I'm going to help you get some money because I believe in what you're doing. Let's seal it. So we said, Lord, in the name of Jesus, seal it. So I went to the prayer meeting the next morning at 6 o'clock in the morning. I just go to the prayer meeting. A guy comes up to me who I don't know. I won't name him. He's in the room right now. He says, I don't know him. Taps me on the shoulder. Can I talk to you a second? Yeah. We go in the room. He goes, I want to give you $1 million. I go, what? He goes, I want to give you $1 million. Lord told me to. He goes, here, I want to give IHOP $1 million. Or I can't remember if I told him what I was doing with God TV. I can't remember. But it all ended up, he wrote the check to IHOP, and I called Rory and our team, and we worked it all out right. And I said, Rory, like at 9 o'clock in the morning, he's at the hotel. Remember how we sealed the deal? And I said, the Lord put your seal on it. $1 million came this morning. Rory goes, really? Amazing. Then some time goes by, and the Truman property comes up. You know, the Lord said, we're going to be next to it. Of course, Gary Cooper had such a major role in that. He talks to the family, and it's been for sale for so many years. This big sign, you know, for sale. And And they were all asking some huge amount of money for some many years. I don't know. But it was probably really worth about $10 million. But they were asking a lot more than that. And I don't really know all the details of what they were asking and why. But it was worth a lot less. But it was maybe about $10 million. And so we're talking to them, Gary and the guys that are working with him. And this Jewish family, they said, long story short, beautiful thing. They said, you know what? Why don't we sell it to you? I mean, it's a long story made real short. I'm not trying to give all the details. Why don't we sell it to you for $1 million instead of whatever we're asking? Because they're asking a lot more. But again, it was worth a lot more than $1 million. We'll give it to you for $1 million. Because our mom and dad, it was their parents who bought it from Harry. Our mom and dad loved Grandview, and we think your young people would do good for Grandview. Because they're this Jewish family. They come walking through IHOP. IHOP's in full throttle, you know. I mean, really going. They're going, wow, it's kind of neat. Somebody, I don't want to even tell the stories about the person that came up and wanted to prophesy to them, but because they didn't know who they were. They were just a, you know, fair game walking in the prayer room. You walk in the prayer room, that's fair game. If you're actually in the prayer room, you get prophesied to. And I don't know the whole story. I wasn't there, but I heard it from Gary and some of the others, and they prophesied to one of them. And it's you know, and they said, what was that? And I think Gary said, well, you know, they hear things from God and say them. I said, well, that's neat. The what? I don't know the whole story, but they said, no, we're going to give it to you for $1 million instead of, you know, the 10 that it was worth or the 20 they were, you know, that was on the market for, whatever the actual amount was. So it's such a great victory. We are so excited because it really is the Harry S. Truman property. You know, this is, I thought this was that by getting this building. I thought that prayer was answered. I mean, that prophecy. So then a guy's coming through. Me and Gary are talking about this story, you know, some weeks later. And a man just passing through, visiting us, and he's there. And I'm saying, this is the most remarkable story. I mean, this $10 or $20 million place, whatever, is we're getting it for $1 million. It's like Harry S. Truman's property. It's so cool. And the guy goes, I want to give you the $1 million. I said, what? He goes, here, I want to give you the $1 million. And so there you have it. It's debt-free. And it closes, and you know the story, but I just love saying it. On January 27th, 2008, exactly 50 years to the day that Harry S. Truman sold it to that Jewish couple who now were buying it from their kids. And we saw the contract said, Harry S. Truman, January 27th, 1958. Then it's, you know, IHOP, January 27th. The closing day is exactly on the Jubilee 50 years later. And we're debt-free. Because what's Jubilee? Debt-free. And what is Jubilee also? It's not just debt-free. It means the property reverts back to its rightful owner. And the rightful owner is the intercession movement for Israel. Because that's what Harry S. Truman was, an intercessor for Israel. So we got a property. Bob Jones, oh, and I called him, did he get to just tell it to me? You can picture him. He's 80 years old now. You know, you, Bob, we got the Truman property on the Jubilee. I told you that was going to happen. You never believed me. I just like, Diane's there. And I'm going, I go, he deserves it. Let me have it. I told you we were going to be there. You told me we don't go to Grandview. You can picture him, right? You've seen his videos. They didn't believe me. Oh, he was so happy. He deserved just to let me have it for a while. I just put the phone out there. We were smiling and laughing, and it was so fun. Well, then we got a, you know, a situation. We got our Bible schools growing. And this is our Bible school, this auditorium, and we can't fit the students in. And so we decide we're going to look at this Grandview Plaza, you know, half a mile away or whatever. And it's another big shopping mall. The shopping mall we have, that we bought where the prayer room is 50,000 square feet. This other one's 100,000 square feet. So it's twice the size. But it's $3.3 million, and we don't have any money. We pay our bills, but we don't have anything extra. So, you know, my statement, the leadership team, were sitting around, hey, we, in our spirit, yes, let's go for it. Let's just say, Lord, that's what going for it means. Let's go for it. Let's help. I mean, we want it, yes. Hey, you want that property? Yes. What's that mean? Well, it just means yes. I mean, we can't do nothing with that yes at this moment, but yes, we want that building. Recorded in heaven. They want the building. They got this history. They got promises. They're responding. Okay, things are in order. Let's go. There's the counting of heaven. So a guy comes through town. And I like to always keep them unnamed. And they want to be kept unnamed. And say, hey, what are you doing? You know, what's the pressure points? Well, our school's, you know, looks like it's going to double in the next year or two. And we're looking at the shopping mall. And he goes, well, where? I go, well, it's about a half mile from the, you know, the FSM where the auditorium is, the Bible school. He goes, well, let me look at it. So somebody takes him. I mean, it's 15 minutes, 20 minutes, something like that. He comes back. And the story was that his wife, before they came to Kansas City, they were visiting just for a couple of days, were praying for IHOP. And she got the number 3.3. And he goes, what's 3.3? She goes, I don't know exactly if she knew it all, but 3.3. So they go look at the property, and they say, well, what's this cost? And the person showing them, a couple of people, I guess, are showing them, they said $3.3 million. And the wife looks at the husband, and the husband looks at the wife, and then he goes, oh. He goes, we can't afford that. She goes, honey, the Lord said it. And he wrote us a $3.3 million check, and it's debt-free. Those are great stories. I mean, $700,000 the next day, the email's there, you know, buying the apartment. But I am so grateful when the amounts were real little. And I'm so grateful because the amounts are still really little. Because $3 million is really good, but we need $300 million. We need $3 billion. We need $30 billion. I love the $3 million realm. I love the $30 realm. I love the $550. The zeros don't matter to God. He's real nice, he's real smart, and he's really rich. But he's real smart, too. And he goes, you're not going to trick me with, oh, yeah, well, I'll start giving when I get rich. Lord says, you give now. You give now. He's real nice, very kind God, very smart, and he's really rich. $30 billion is as easy to God as $30. I mean, it's as easy to God as $30. Well, let's just end with that. I could go on and on. I got 15 more stories that are just so exciting because they touch your heart. Your heart goes, whoa, God. But they mean one thing to me. You're watching. You're watching. You're watching me. That's what matters. It's not the money. The God of Genesis 1, his eyes are on humans. He's looking at humans. And he smiles and records it in his book. Beloved, that's everything to me and to you. Amen. Let's stand. Lord, we say yes. Oh, we love your word.